Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
It's so good to be with you today as we continue along in the Gospels. Remember where we left off last time, where Jesus was talking about the need for workers. In Matthew chapter 9, we read in verse 37, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest.'" As we'll pick up this story today, as Jesus, again, we have the account of this story in Mark chapter 6 or also Luke chapter 9, but we're going to take a look at it from Matthew's perspective in Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. We read, "And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip, Thomas, and Matthias the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, Labias, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter into the city of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and rise the dead and cast out demon. Freely, freely received, freely, freely give.'" And so here we see Jesus pulling his disciples aside. And really what he's saying, you guys have been watching me for quite a long time now. Now it's time for you to go out. You know, classrooms time is over. Now it's time for a practical field experience, per se. And so he gave them power to go out and to cast them out. Notice where he says he gave them power. They couldn't go out and do the ministry without the power, without being plugged in. Aren't we glad that the Father has promised us to send us the Holy Spirit to empower us, to equip us for the work of ministry? Can you imagine doing it underneath your own strength? Oh my goodness. Ministry would be tough. Ministry would be tiring. It would be strenuous at best, right? But yet when God gives us power, then he gives us the ability to do the things that he would have us to do in the name of Jesus. And he gives us that joy, that excitement that he has for us. But also what we see here is a very important principle in ministry. Is Jesus says, freely, freely, or freely you have received, freely give. You know, I take that throughout my whole life, is how I should conduct myself in ministry, how I should conduct myself as a husband, how I should conduct myself as a father. Freely I have received. What have I received? Well, I've received everything from God, of his grace, of his mercy, of his kindness, of his forgiveness, you know, his provision for me. You know, and so Jesus is saying is that the things that you've received of me have been free. Now give it away freely. And then he talks about a very practical thing where he talks about your personal monies or your finances. He says, provide neither gold or silver nor copper into your money belt, nor bags for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for the worker is worthy of his food. Otherwise, when you're going out there, people will see the good work you're doing and they're going to come along and help you. You know, don't be striving about money. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who it is worthy and stay there till you go out. Otherwise, go into a home where you feel comfortable and stay there while you're there ministering. And when you go into the household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake the dust off of your feet Assuredly, I say to you, it is more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. One thing that we noted here, as we're reading how the disciples were instructed to go out to the lost sheep or to the nation of Israel. See, the gospel was first presented to Israel because God gave them the promise of the Messiah. After having been rejected by his chosen people, Jesus then says later in Matthew chapter 28, he says, go and make disciples of all nations and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. But first, Jesus' mission was to announce to the Jews that the Messiah had come. And here he's telling them, he says, don't worry about how much, you know, food you're going to take or what you're going to do. And if people don't receive you, if they don't, really want to hear the good news, he says, don't bother with them. And he says, God's going to judge them. There's a judgment that's going to come to them. As he says, assuredly, I say to you, I will be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And so we see Jesus really speaking about the things that they were going to be going to see as he continues on in verse 16. He says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpent and harmless as doves, but be aware of men, for they will deliver you up before councils and scourge you in the synagogues. You know, I think it's interesting, even as we see here, how this will come to pass. It says, and we will be brought, you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, but it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak, for it is not you to speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So Jesus warns his disciples that they would face persecution, but he also promised that in those days they wouldn't need to worry about what they're going to say. When Stephen was brought before the Jewish council to defend his faith there in Acts chapter 7, he gave one of the most, I think, most beautiful, masterful sermons in the Bible, outlining the history of Israel and calling the people to repentance. He didn't have time to rehearse it. He just opened up his mouth, and the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, spoke through him in a very, very powerful way. God will do the same for us. We are almost bystanders for the most part when you think about it, as the Spirit of God chooses to work through us. I know some people, when they start speaking or wanting to witness to somebody, they say, well, my body starts shaking. As I start shaking, and my voice gets trembly as I start speaking or sharing a scripture. Well, yeah, God's speaking through you at that point. It's an exciting thing to think that God would want to use us. But he'll give us the ability to speak. He'll give us the ability to share. We just need to have a willing heart. And so now as we go on, we read, Now brothers will deliver brothers to death, and fathers and a father his children, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. And I think it's important that we recognize how Jesus is again speaking on this, where he did speak on this in the Sermon on the Mount. But the fact is as he's repeating, reinforcing this teaching to his disciples, that they will be hated for my name's sake. For the work of the gospel and the ministry of Jesus Christ, it rubs people the wrong way, because it points people to God and it points them to their need to repent. And so they will hate us for the name of Jesus. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Otherwise, don't worry in well-doing. That's what Paul exhorts us in 2 Thessalonians, that we shouldn't weary in well-doing. We just need to continue, not to faint, not to give up. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another, for surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is not enough for a disciple that he is like his teacher, and a servant is like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call of this household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that they will not be revealed. There is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Otherwise, don't worry about it. God's going to step in. He's going to take care of this. The goal of and desire of every true believer is to be like Jesus. There's a twofold relationship here. Jesus is our teacher, and we are his students. He's also our master, and we are his servant. In both cases, our goal is to be like him. And so as we see this, as we look at this, next time as we gather together, as we continue to talk about Jesus sending out his disciples, let's go forth in that power of the Holy Spirit. And you may say to me, I'm not feeling very powerful this day. Well, that's okay. Go in faith and ask God to fill you with his Spirit. And as you start taking those steps, God will then enable you to do what he would have you to do this day. And so next time, as we gather together to study God's Word, may God richly bless you. Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. May God richly bless you.